Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
The internet is full of half-truths and all-out lies. We've all seen them, and many people on social media complaining about it. Here's your chance to show and prove. WorldAfropedia.com is a black-owned and operated encyclopedia. There are several thousand articles, but we need help. We can't uncover all the truth ourselves. So please, join us and become a writer, editor, or blogger for WorldAfropedia.com today. Every little bit counts. We owe it to the future generations to put the truth out there. Visit WorldAfropedia.com, the African-centered encyclopedia, a global database of African knowledge for the purpose of bringing about global African wisdom and understanding. WorldAfropedia.com.
Decals, context of white supremacy. Gusty Renegade in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, Thursday, June 18th, 2015. So I have been told. Certainly folks who've been paying attention to the news probably anywhere in the world have seen information regarding the horrendous shooting at a Charleston, South Carolina church. Nine victims have been reported killed during the shooting. The suspect, a white man, has been apprehended. Just lots of attention has been focused on this case, seeming like just a really obviously horrendous incident, but really important moment in terms of understanding the reality of racism, white supremacy, and terrorism against black people. I thought it would be phenomenal to get Dr. Welsing on the program to get her views on this really serious situation and just some of her initial thoughts and things that she thinks we should be mindful of in discussing all of this. Dr. Welsing, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Thank you so much for sharing some of your time with us this evening. I know this is on really short notice, and you've got all kinds of things happening for your weekend, being recognized for all of your great efforts, and you immediately carved out some time in your schedule to speak with us this evening. We are so glad to hear from you. I guess to get started and maximize time, again, this shooting just taking place within the last 24 hours, what are some of the immediate things that have stood out to you in this event?
Well, certainly I think that there is no doubt that what occurred, came about because of racism, white supremacy. You have a young adult black, white male saying that he wanted to kill black people and saying black men rape white women, and that black people were taking over the country. I don't know whether he was making reference to the fact that the country is supposed to now be run by the first black president. And so, without a doubt, this falls within our understanding of racism, white supremacy, certainly. But as I have watched the programs on CNN and other channels, I really found myself, because the people at the church and many other people commenting, political figures and television figures, were talking about how wonderful it was that black and white people were together in the church. And the black and white people were singing We Shall Overcome and holding hands and swaying back and forth. And I found myself feeling nauseated, if I really speak the truth, and disgusted And I just thought that after Ferguson, you have black and white people marching together, and then you have another event. You see, and then you have the events in Baltimore, and you have black people and white people marching together, and everybody's saying how wonderful that people are getting together. And I jotted a note down, and Monday, this is Thursday, and by Monday, everybody will be back again playing their part in the system of racism, white supremacy, either as people who classify themselves as white or the people that the whites classify as the black people who are the victims of racism, white supremacy. And I know that people hearing me might say, oh, how can she say that? Isn't it wonderful? The people are all holding hands like Martin Luther King wanted them to do. You see, but the very fact that we go from event to event, and I'm certain that because this young man not only killed black people, but, I mean, it's just disgusting that there were 6 black women and 3 black men who were killed, and an 87-year-old black woman was killed. And I said, when are we as black people going to have the level of self-respect and courage to really come out of the slave role, slave obey your master, turn the other cheek. Make certain you turn the other cheek and you'll get your reward in heaven. And that's a slave role. We haven't maybe thought about it in those terms. But, for example, people never, and there'll be black people coming forward and saying they forgive the shooter, that they forgive and they think this is a thing to do. I mean, that's the cycle of events as far as we are concerned. And I said, no, this is highly incorrect. There was a time period when we didn't have deep insight into the system structure of racism, white supremacy. But then Neely Fuller came along and helped us to understand that we were dealing with a total system structure of white supremacy for the power, to maintain the power equation of white power over a relative non-white powerlessness. And Neely Fuller's work helped me to begin understanding and investigating as a system that the system was actually about on this particular planet, because white people who classify themselves as white all over the planet, are fewer than 1/10 of the people on the planet. And they are genetically recessive compared to black people and other people of color, and they could experience genetic annihilation. So once I understood that we were dealing with a system and that the system was actually about people who classify themselves as white, their fear of genetic annihilation. And so we have a choice now. We have a choice as black people. We can go forward rocking and swaying and singing We Shall Overcome when the next event happens, or we can begin to insist that we deal with racism, white supremacy in a non-emotional way and deal with it as it is a war of terrorism, which is what it is, and begin to really have an in-depth understanding of what it is that we are dealing with, not so that we can spend any energy or time hating people who classify themselves as white, but as Neely Fuller has laid out, that the task of the victims of the system of racism, white supremacy, is to replace that system of injustice. And after Charleston, South Carolina, I hope there's not a single existing black person on the planet. With the killing of these 9 black people inside of a church in Bible study, and the minister is killed right at the Bible study setting with the other people, that we certainly cannot any longer say that, well, you know, somehow things are improving. And so, to me, this is the time when there needs to be absolute insistence that black people not talk about anything else. Instead of talking about, isn't it wonderful that the black and white people were holding hands and singing "We Shall Overcome"? And I think that black people should be saying, out of respect for themselves, because we've had 500 years of this. 500 years. And it's time that we begin to say, no, we need to function with an analysis of why we are doing this over and over again, and insist that racism, white supremacy as a total system structure be put on top of the table, because there's nobody that has been represented on TV, television, that I have seen that wanted to spend any real time talking about racism, white supremacy. Nobody spends any time talking about it. When President Obama made his remarks, he switched to a discussion of gun control. Well, the prevalence of guns and the increased incidence of people who classify themselves as white purchasing guns is because of the very system of racism, white supremacy. They even named it the Obama effect. When the black man became president, there was a great increase in the purchasing of guns. But the president could not talk about racism. He said our dark past, the nation's dark past. But he could not say racism, white supremacy. He couldn't say it. And nobody else could spend any time. Those people who said, well, white supremacy, they rushed away from it, and now they're beginning to say, well, this young man was probably mentally ill or had some psychological problem. They never say that when young black people are shooting or older black people are shooting and killing. No, those are just bad people and thugs. But they're already beginning to say, well, there must be some reason that he would be disturbed, that he would do something so ghastly. Now, this is in the state where the Civil War began, that had slaves, beat slaves, and did every other horrible thing to enslaved Africans. But here we are at this point, not talking about the system of racism, white supremacy. And I say that this is what black people should all be saying, halt. We're not going another step further until we put racism, white supremacy on top of the table to be discussed. And we're not going to talk about anything else other than racism, white supremacy as the power system dynamic that has been structured and maintained by people who classify themselves as white, whether consciously or subconsciously determined, which consists of patterns of perception, logic, symbol formation, thought, speech, action, and emotional response, as conducted simultaneously in all areas of people activity, economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war, for the ultimate purpose of white genetic survival and preventing white genetic annihilation on planet Earth, the planet in which the overwhelming majority of people are called non-white by white-skinned people, and all of the non-white people are genetically dominant in terms of skin coloration compared to the genetic recessive white-skinned people. All of that, which is to say, if racism, white supremacy was not conducted on this particular planet, then there would be white genetic annihilation. And people who classify themselves as white know this, and this is why this young 21-year-old mass murderer in Charleston, South Carolina, said as he was killing the black people, when a young black man tried to, you know, I guess reason with him, this is what one of the reports are saying, that he said, no, I have to do this because all you want to do is rape our women and take control of the country or take our country from us. So, again, I'm saying the only intelligent, self-respecting thing that we can do as black people is to demand through our, you know, what we have to say, is to say, no, this is evidence of a system of racism, white supremacy, and we're not going to talk about anything else. And we certainly are not going to be singing, "We Shall Overcome." And it doesn't mean that we're going to be rude and disrespectful to people who classify themselves as white. But we're not going to be led down an emotional rabbit hole, which is where we are taken each time these events happen, because we are not functioning with clarity about what it is that we're dealing with and the self-respect and the courage to put this clearly on the table. This is not just happenstance. These events that are just falling one right after the other are a result of the fact that we are in a system of racism, white supremacy, and this is precisely how it expresses itself. Ultimately, the killing of the people that they are fearful can cause white genetic annihilation. So those are my thoughts and those are my sentiments here on June the 18th, 2015, watching another example of someone who classifies himself as white, feeling the necessity to kill innocent black people. And this time it's so up in your face. It's right in the church and right in the Bible study class. And killing the minister and two other black males and six black females, one of whom was 87 years of age.
Context of white supremacy. Dr. Welsing, you are a third generation physician, general, and child psychiatrist. What are your thoughts? This suspected white terrorist, Dylan Storm Ralph, him reportedly sitting with the black people that he would ultimately massacre, sitting with them for an hour, sitting right next to the Reverend, so I've been told, Reverend Pinckney, sitting with them for an hour before he begins to start killing. Like, what does that suggest to you?
That he was on a white supremacy mission. You see, so in my view, it's just a variation on the theme of, and the other thing is that when this person was captured, he wasn't beat up by the police. Now, just imagine if that had been a black man going into a white church and shooting white people. He probably would be dead. But this young man was handled respectfully and protectively.
Absolutely. This in the same town where Walter Scott, the black male who was shot on video, was not accorded the same protection.
Right in North Charleston.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I also wanted to make sure I asked as well, because you've been on this program so many times and you have theorized that you think there could be an increase in the shootings and what have you, even Walter Scott, that there could be an increase in this sort of violence against the black people because of the increasing promotion and seeming increasing incidence of particularly black males being engaged in sexual intercourse with white females. The fact that the suspected terrorist in this case, the fact that he's reported to have said, hey, you all are sleeping with our women and taking over, does that further bolster your claim that you think that's driving, accelerating more of these types of incidents?
Well, see, again, you can't play basketball or football or tennis without understanding the game that you're playing. Chess or checkers, you can't play without understanding the game that you are playing. And we have to, if we understand racism, white supremacy, as in my thesis, there's no other thesis out explaining racism, white supremacy, other than my work. And I'm not saying this as a braggart, because I've advertised in the newspaper. Does anybody know, does anybody have a better explanation of this phenomenon that we are, this destructive, deadly phenomenon that we're dealing with? And there's no other explanation out there. And so if we are not functioning with an understanding of exactly and precisely what it is that we're dealing with, which is why Neely Fuller says, if you don't understand white supremacy racism, what it is and exactly how it works, everything else that you think you understand will only confuse you. They say we have to have a thesis, we have to have a narrative of exactly what it is that we're dealing with if we have the intention to solve the problem. If we don't have the intention to solve racism, white supremacy, then we are content with being victims, content with being slaves, and saying it's nothing we can do about it. As a matter of fact, one of the relatives, I think, that was interviewed by Anderson Cooper, the cousin of the minister who was killed and the state's senator, she said, all we can do is just pray. That's the only thing that we can do about it. Well, you know, it's not a slap in the face of anybody's religion. But people who classify themselves as white don't say it's all that they can do is pray when they start carrying out behavior for their genetic survival, whatever that is. All of their efforts in inferiorizing black people, suppressing black people, oppressing black people, they never think that they never say that they have to pray in order to do what they need to do. They have analyzed their situation on planet Earth and worked out what is it that they need to do to genetically survive And they figured out, bottom line, it's genocide the black people because we are fearful of their genetic power. They have the greatest genetic power to cause white genetic annihilation, which is why we have all been taught, if you're black, get black, brown, stick around, yellow, mellow, white, right. So as long as we don't have, see, people who, in other words, we are in the position of hoping and praying, and I call it the dunghill of hope, meaning you're not using your brain to analyze the problem. You're hoping that one day people who classify themselves as white will begin to love black people and other people of color. But they can't love people of color if that love is eventually expressed in sex, because that would lead to white genetic annihilation, which is why Dr. Martin Luther King had to be killed. We have to have an analysis of the war that is being systematically waged against us. And as long as we don't want to talk about racism, white supremacy, because we know that people who classify themselves as white will not be happy. So we don't talk about it, and they don't want us to talk about it, and they don't talk about it, so we all just waltz on the black and white dance of racism, white supremacy. We just dance together forward to the next killing. And then we will go through weeping and wailing and praying and swaying and singing, "We shall overcome." And the black people and the white people will hold hands and rock and sway. And so 3 days later, they'll go right back to the practice of deadly racism, white supremacy. And that circular waltz will be unbroken. But that reflects that we don't have respect for ourselves. It reflects that we are really mentally, emotionally disturbed because our self-respect has been annihilated, and racism, white supremacy will go forward. Racism, white supremacy is a system that people who classify themselves as white worked out for their survival. And it doesn't include loving black people. But they, if you look at the TV and you see all the people in Charleston, South Carolina, the home of the Confederacy, where they have insisted that the Confederate flag fly near or over their state house. Even as they're rocking and singing, "We shall overcome." Business will go right back to usual because it's their system for their survival. Now, we have an opportunity since Neely Fuller came along and said we're dealing with a system of racism, white supremacy. And then he motivated me to think as a psychiatrist, and I said, oh, the reason that they have to have a system of racism, white supremacy is for their genetic survival because of their genetic reality and their numerical minority status on the planet. So all of that is quite logical, and it makes sense. And the fact that they can't have gun control because the gun is the means by which they keep the black people, the black men in particular, they have to be able to kill black people at will. This is what we keep seeing. And so, again, if we do not stop being emotional, when people are the victims of a war, they don't go into an emotional response. They go into, wait a minute, why is war being waged against us? Let us understand why warfare is being conducted against us. And let us think and reason, what is it that we need to do to prevent ourselves from being destroyed. And first and foremost, we have to cease being emotional and have reach for an understanding of why this is happening. Only when we understand why it is happening can we do the effective scientific thing to block it. And you begin by talking about what you understand. So when people who classify themselves as white say, no, we don't think it's racism, then the black response is, well, we are absolutely certain that it is. And this is our definition of what racism, white supremacy is. Finally, we now understand why you have to engage in the kind of behavior you direct against us in economics, education, entertainment, labor law, politics, religion, sex, and war. And then the people who classify themselves as white will say, oh, they finally understand what we're doing. What's going to be our next move? And then the black people will think, what's going to be our next move? But I have said that if black people just begin to perfect self-respect, our self-respect has been annihilated in the system of racism, white supremacy. That's why the people who classify themselves as white were able to pay so-called black entertainers to start programming their own people to call themselves bitches and hoes and gangsters and thugs and bow wows and freaks. And program black men to not want black women. They have it in their music, and the music is played over and over again until that affects how people end up behaving. And people who classify themselves as white say, these are the lyrics we want you to sing. We don't want you to sing anything about black self-respect or system of racism like fear of the black planet. No, we don't want you doing anything like that. It has to be trashy, because we are turning you into trash. And eventually we can have you looking at scandal and thinking that that's the greatest thing you ever saw, with a black female being portrayed as white men's hope. Mm-hmm. Or empire, and the white people are looking at it and say, this is a planet of the apes. So we are perfectly justified in not giving them education, housing, health care, and eventually destroying them, because this is proof. Just look at it. This is life unworthy of life.
Wow. Context of white supremacy, to that same point when you encourage black people to not be emotional about this, to use our brain computers so that we can come to an effective solution. What is the significance? I know when I called you earlier, we were both trying to hear what President Obama was going to say about all of this. And you said that you were listening and you didn't hear him use the term racism when he described it. And I was listening and I was looking for the word terrorism. Just what's the importance in terms of the words that we use to talk about this and not referencing this as a hate crime or any other strange terms, but to be clear and specific that this is racism, white supremacy, which is the highest form of terrorism?
Well, do you see his attorney general, Eric Holder, the former attorney general, said the most important thing in the Obama administration. And he, you know, caught hell for it. He said, are we a nation of cowards being unable to talk about racism? Racism is the dynamic that exists on planet Earth. Racism as white supremacy. The thing that is the dynamic, the patterns of perception and logic that are responsible for what we saw just happening in Charleston, South Carolina. Responsible for what we saw in Ferguson. Responsible for what we saw in Staten Island. Responsible for what we saw in Cleveland where the 12-year-old black male child was killed because he had a play toy. So when the president is unable to, the president doesn't have any problem talking about the rights for women. The president doesn't have any problem talking about protecting the rights of the gay, the lesbians, and the transgenders. The president doesn't have any problem talking about America's responsibility in making certain that the Israelis are secure. But he cannot bring his mouth to say that it is critically important that the lives of black people be protected, and we must begin to focus on the system of racism, white supremacy that has negatively impacted the lives of all black people for the last 500 years. The very fact that he cannot give specific focus to black people indicates that he doesn't, final analysis, have deep respect for himself or black people, and as a consequence, the white people don't respect him. So you have to respect yourself, even if other people disagree with positions that you take. You have to respect yourself if anybody is going to respect you. And so our self-respect has been, you know, like annihilated because we didn't really understand. It's almost like we were at a chessboard and we really didn't understand the game, and so we were constantly, you know, the opponent is moving against us and putting us in a state of check because we don't understand we don't understand the game, and so therefore we can't master playing the game. And so our self-respect was being annihilated following the gains that were made during the Civil Rights era. When black people came out of that struggle where they gave their lives and they suffered police dogs and fire hoses and club beatings and death, and they came out of that saying, black is beautiful, black pride, black power, black self-respect. And so the white people knew any people that are talking about self-respect, then you can't hold those people in oppression. And so the system understood we've got to keep these people under our control, so we don't end up experiencing white genetic annihilation. And we have white genetic survival. But we can only do it if we can keep our feet on their necks and control what they think about themselves. So we'll go after them through their music. We will have their musicians put trash into their thinking, make them think of themselves as trash, because what you do with trash is incinerate it. And so because they don't have a clue, they're just like little children, they don't have a clue as to what is actually happening, which is why they greet each other by saying, hey, what's happening? A trillion times a day, hey, what's happening? Hey, what's happening? Because they don't understand what's going on. And they're not thinking clearly because what they are looking for, they're not looking to understand what is happening to them so that they can do something effective about their situation. They are waiting for us as white people to love them, so we can really start handing out a certain number of white women to black men, throwing them completely off guard. And then white men will start killing black men, which is why the killer the other day ended up saying to the black people, "You want to rape white women. And you want to take over our country." Words to that effect. So they have got an excellent game going, but the game is the highest level of injustice that's ever been conceived. It's a game of torture and destruction of people of color, and mostly black people, because black people have the greatest genetic potential to cause their genetic annihilation, which is why they designed a system for their genetic survival on this planet. Now, if we're never going to set our emotions aside, it's just like you can't play tennis with just your emotions all over the place. You can't do anything with emotions all over the place. But when people feel helpless, all they have is emotional expression. Like little babies, all they can do is they don't get something or they want something, they start crying for somebody to come and take care of them. So I say it's critically important that we begin to understand at this level what is happening, because nobody is going to come along and save us other than ourselves. But that's why the white people made certain that they gave, once they captured and enslaved the black people, brought them to America, to the different places in the Americas and the Caribbean, part of breaking them in as slaves was to give them a picture of God that was the image of the slave masters. Give them the image of a white God and tell them this is who they're supposed to worship, and this is who they're supposed to seek help from, and this is who they're supposed to seek to love them. And so that was a critically master stroke. And we see it being played out today. 9 black people are killed. 6 black women. 3 black men. A 5-year-old black child in the room had to lay on the floor and pretend that he was dead. And all of that is washed away by some white people and black people holding hands and swaying and singing, "We shall overcome," which is what we learned to do 50 years ago when Dr. Martin Luther King was trying his best to oppose racism, white supremacy, oppose the Vietnam War. You see, but they turned his message around to, "I have a dream. I'm just dreaming." Well, what are you dreaming about? Well, that's not important to even talk about. Dr. Martin Luther King talked about racism. That was what was going on, just like it's what's going on today. Simply modify the exact form. One phase, you say they can't go to the toilet, they can't go to a particular store, they can't try on clothes, they can't go to the hotel. Well, change that around and then start giving them drugs and have them highly unemployed. And they will become frustrated and they will start killing each other. Now, we will bring them the drugs and we will bring them the guns so that they can kill each other out of their frustration. We are causing their frustration because we have them unemployed at very high levels. Or we can even add to that, make rules so that if they get guns and buy drugs, then we herd them into our prison system. Until we reach a point where 70% of the black families are single-parent households and just a mother, and male children don't have father guidance, and they will begin to imitate the mother and put earrings in their ears and have long hair. Eventually, they will be females. And then we will pay them high sums of money to put on dresses. Because if we can turn the men into women, then we don't have to worry about white genetic annihilation. Keep them not thinking. Destroy the schools in their community so they won't learn how to read. And then they won't really be able to read books. Because what we do, all of it is in books. But we will program them, watch TV, don't learn how to read. But they won't understand what we are doing because what they want is for us to love them. We teach them not to love themselves, to love us and want us to love them. So we basically have them in a trap. But because they want us to love them, they're not thinking about being put in a trap.
Wow. I also wanted to make sure that I asked, because so many times, we talk about this on the program all the time, when people think of a racist white supremacist, they think tends to be an older white person, Donald Sterling, Paula Deen, someone in their 80s, Cliven Bundy, and say, oh, you know, these younger white people, they voted for President Obama, and they don't have all this prejudice from years ago. Just the fact that the reported shooter in this case, he's 21. This is a very young white person who, as you said, seems like he was on a white supremacist mission to terrorize and massacre black people. What does that say to you, this person being 21?
You're saying, what do young black people think of the person being 21? I'm sorry, I didn't hear all of that.
Just the fact, the age of the suspected white terrorist in this case, he's 21, and how so frequently people talk and say, well, see, these younger white people, they're not racist, they voted for President Obama, they're not like their parents and the older white people who are still racist and carry those type of views. Just what does that say to you, the fact that the suspect in this case is only 21?
Well, it just means that younger people don't understand racism, white supremacy, just like older black people don't understand racism, white supremacy. Mm. See, I would say fewer than 0.1% of black people understand racism, white supremacy. Because we're not programmed to do our own thinking. We're programmed to want people who classify themselves as white to love us. So they can get us carried away just by having some kind of magazine that has black men with white women. And so then the men will start thinking that white women love them. And so they won't want to think about racism, white supremacy being a deadly form of oppression. And what we'll give the black women, we will give them scandal, and they can pretend that some president, white man, wants them. As a white man passes them from one white man to another white man. Because they, too, want to think that white people love them. So we can keep them in this confusion. We can, as a matter of fact, do anything we want to do with them. because we have programmed them through giving them a white God. We have programmed them to love us no matter what we do. They won't even see what we're doing to them. It's just like you can feed a little baby poison. Just put it on a cracker. The baby is trusting. The baby needs to be taken care of. So you can make the baby believe anything. What can the baby do?
Do you have any suggestions on ways that black parents or black educators, older black people who might have to explain this event to black children? Do you have any suggestions on the best?
Well, you see, the older black people, that, you know, anybody who's learned how to read, the second step should be, let me understand racism, white supremacy. And like the African proverb says, each one teach one. See, black people teach each other how to dance. We teach all kind of trashy language to each other, trashy jokes. And we never wonder, how does a dance move from New York to California in 3 days? Because we teach each other how to dance. That falls under foolishness. But we need to be teaching each other constructive thinking. And we need to be teaching each other, when somebody raises a question, hey, what's happening? Then the answer to that is the system of racism, white supremacy, that operates in all areas of people activity, economics, education, entertainment, labor law, politics, religion, sex, and war. See, just imagine if you have a few black people who begin to understand that's the answer to the question, what's happening? And see, even Louis Armstrong, Satchmo, he's deceased now, great musician. Somebody said, Pops, what's happening? And his answer was, the white man is still in charge. Basically, what's happening is racism, white supremacy. And so instead of not wanting to talk about racism, white supremacy, I say that anybody who doesn't talk about racism, white supremacy is engaging in criminal negligence against the interests of black people. So all black people, see, just like some of these trashy songs that the rap people put out, and, you know, black people know all the words to those songs because that's psychological poison that the system of white supremacy wants in our heads. But we can counter that, and people should, you know, people should seriously think about it. If I could wave a magic wand, black people, all black people, certainly in this area of the world, would realize when somebody says, hey, what's happening, the answer is the system of racism, white supremacy, that functions in all areas of people activity. Economics, education, entertainment, labor law, politics, religion, sex, and war. A system for the purpose of white genetic survival and preventing white genetic annihilation, and in the final analysis, necessitates the killing of black men for the genocide of black people. I mean, people, a group of people who are fearful of another group of people's genetics, of necessity have to engage in genocide on the people that they are afraid of, and that's exactly what we see happening. When you are killing the men of a people or warehousing them in prison so that they cannot contribute to the genetic reproductivity of their group, then genocide is being waged on those people. And that is what is happening to us. But again, the answer to, hey, what's happening? The answer is the system, I'm sure you know, or don't you know? The answer to that question is a system of racism, white supremacy that functions in all areas of people activity. That's why we experience the things that is happening to us. That's why we see what's happening in Charleston, South Carolina. And a short time ago, what happened in Ferguson, Missouri. And before that, what happened in Cleveland. And what happened to Amadou Diallo? And why Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated? Why Malcolm X was assassinated? Why we were even enslaved? All of that is racism, white supremacy. All of it is tied together.
Absolutely.
And out of our respect for ourselves, it's critical that we begin to understand this. ASAP.
Ashe. Ashe. I definitely wanted to make sure I got in for people, because they might hear some of the things that you said, particularly when you talked about how just these images of white people coming out and let's pray about this. Folks might hear some of the things that you said and say, hey, Dr. Welsing, you sound like you are some extremist or you're radical. Some of the things that you're saying, all of those white people who came out, they are showing that they are not racist, that they don't support this, that this shooter, Dylan Ralph, that he doesn't represent them, and that they just want to make sure that black people know that there are some white people who are not racist who want to help take care of this problem. What would your response be to someone who presented that argument?
Well, there has never been a day, there's never been a week, there's never been a month, there's never been a year in the last 500 years when racism, white supremacy has not been happening 24/7. See, racism, white supremacy is not a figment of our imagination. Just like our being enslaved is not a figment of our imagination. That was what black people experienced. Just like black men being warehoused in prison is not a figment of our imagination. All the frustration of black male children that leads them to be fighting with each other and depressed is related to not having fathers, because the system of racism has said, no, you are not going to have jobs, and so you're going to then be forced to sell drugs or shoot and kill, and then I'm going to put you in prison with disparate sentencing. So I'm saying, you know, as we speak, racism, white supremacy is being practiced. Anybody have a doubt? Just turn on your television, and what you see is white, 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 white. White, 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 white. Oh, there's a black man bucking his eyes and acting crazy. White, 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 white. Or, you know, turn on C-SPAN and look at who makes the rules and regulations in the Congress. Or get your next newspaper and see how the first black president is talked about. All of that's going on as we speak. And there will be another killing.
Absolutely.
Before the month is over.
Perhaps before the day is out, unfortunately. I just wanted to get in as well really quick. Also, what is your response, particularly, you know, given so many of the incidents where black people with no suspicion, no probable cause have been choked, killed, harmed, pummeled over the past, really over the past centuries, but certainly highlighted over the last year or so. Some of the more recent reports, they're saying that some of the white people that knew the suspected white terrorist, Dylan Storm Ralph, that he had been planning.
Wait, say that again. Said some of the white people knew what?
Some of the white people who knew the suspected terrorist, Dylan Storm Ralph, they're saying that he had been talking about doing this sort of thing for a long time. Like they're talking to some of his white roommates and they're saying that, you know, he told racist jokes and he made it very clear his belief in and practice of white supremacy and that he had been talking about committing violence and even killing black people for a long time. Just what are your thoughts? The fact that he could be talking about this publicly, he's not harassed. He doesn't have Homeland Security on his doorstep. His name is not on a registry somewhere that he could do this sort of thing. And, you know, and as you already talked about, he can be taken into custody without a scratch.
Well, again, all of this, I mean, he's white. An American University professor told me that Dr. Wilson, female white, on all social occasions when white people are together and no black people are around, they're talking negatively about black people. And the assumption is that every white person present is in agreement. That's the way they talk. And I said, I understand you all are just talking code about the maintenance of racism, white supremacy, where black people are called the bad people. Black people are called the criminals. This young man is going to be said, well, he was disturbed and he was unhappy. You see, but his friends said, I mean, you know, he was making racial jokes and his white friends were listening to him. And everybody was having a little laugh. They just didn't know that he was the one who would be carrying out what he talked about. But again, what do the people who call themselves white supremacists, what do they talk about? Do you have racial remarks against black people all on the internet? Does that happen?
Mr. Jefferson? Absolutely. Tons of, I didn't think I needed to answer, but certainly against President Obama, First Lady Michelle Obama. It's been, we've been pointing out, it's been at least five different police departments where they have been making the same sort of racist jokes about black people, including the Ferguson Police Department.
Do you see? So, again, and you know, as we speak, the system is not going to stop. The system didn't stop following the murder of the little black girls in church in Birmingham, Alabama. The system has never stopped. The system doesn't stop. The system is for white genetic survival. So it can't stop. It's just a pause while we pretend that we like black people. So they will be focusing on how much we love them as opposed to what we are now doing to them. The unemployment for black people is going to stay the same. The failed schools are going to stay the same. They will be there in September. The gentrification, moving black people out of urban centers, that will be there. Efforts will be made to curtail the black vote. So the system is continuous. I mean, the system has not stopped, has it, since the days of former slavery. Black people are still the odd people out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Extremely pretend that they care about black people. Powerful point. Powerful point. I think they have a lot of practice with that every time. I mean, there's so many of these incidents where they get so many opportunities. The assassination of Dr. King, Katrina, Ferguson, Tamir Rice. There's so many opportunities to pretend that you care about black people, all the while black people just continue to be pummeled. Before we let you exit, just your opinion, general child psychiatrist, does it mean anything? They reported that the suspect, Mr. Ralph, that he was a pill popper and that he took Xanax. Does that mean anything to you?
Well, you see, there are many people who use drugs and take pills. You can even say misuse drugs, but he wasn't under the influence of drugs when he went into that church and sat very calmly and knew how to pretend to the people that he was interested in what they were saying. And then pull out his gun and kill 9 and walk away and get in his car and drive away. Did he need to be under the influence of drugs to say that he wanted to kill black people? Did he need to be under the influence of drugs to say that all black men want are to rape white women? Since that has been said since black people were brought here. So again, see, I say the critical factors are, see, we have been, if you don't like yourself, then people can tell you anything. And you'll believe it. Because you don't have confidence in yourself. And racism, white supremacy has worked hard at making us not have confidence in ourselves, because we turn on the TV every morning and get a big dose of racism, white supremacy. For the most part, we don't see large numbers of black people speaking intelligently. See, there are a lot of black people that are being interviewed in Charleston, South Carolina, that are making intelligent comments, but we don't see that every day on the TV. And all the black women that we see on TV have long, straight hair that they buy at the store, indicating that they wish they were white. And maybe that's the only way that the white people will hire them. You have to look like you want to be white. So it's not anything, I mean, it's not, so therefore we should attack ourselves. No, we should just understand, like, if we decided that we wanted to learn how to play chess. So it's like, what is this game? How is it played? What are the rules? What are the goal objectives? And so if a person worked on that, they would learn how to play chess. Well, we need to, like Neely Fuller said, if you do not understand white supremacy, racism, what it is and exactly how it works, everything else that you think you understand will only confuse you. So that's what we all need to be working on, understanding. Not spending any time hating white people, but know that our place on the planet, we're the parents of everybody on the planet. The creative force in the universe made black people the mothers and fathers of everybody on the planet. Even white people are mutations from black, a genetic recessive mutation. So everybody comes from black people. And so we should decide our role on this planet at this phase of the planet's life is to terminate the unjust system of racism, white supremacy, and replace it with justice. And the methodology that I have recommended, you don't have to even think about killing white people. All we have to do is work on, polish, make immaculate our respect for ourselves. See, it's just like when parents have respect for themselves, they don't have to beat the children to have the children behave correctly. See, some grandmothers have so much self-respect and maturity in knowing what their purpose is that all they have to do is lift an eyebrow, and children in their presence know how to get their behavior together. Because the child just automatically has respect for the respect that the grandparent or the parent has for him or herself. So their job right now is to understand racism and white supremacy, not let it be removed from the table, and always understand. And, you know, it's like we got to read and learn and read and learn and read and learn, but understand how the system of racism, white supremacy is the dominant force on this planet amongst people. And it controls 99.9% of what we experience. And so we want to understand that so that we can begin to change our behavior. Because if we change from being the victims, the slaves, the inferiorized people, then we will have a significant impact on whether the system of racism and white supremacy can continue to exist.
Ashe. Context of white supremacy, it has been phenomenal to just get your perspective. I know so many people are hurting right now and really wanted to get a better understanding of these events, and just really appreciate the opportunity to hear your thoughts as we learn more about what happened and why these non-black people lost their lives down in South Carolina. Not to belittle this tragedy at all, but just I would feel remiss if before letting you go, I didn't ask if you had a quick 30 seconds. And I hope this puts things in perspective, because I talked about, you know, prioritizing things. Last 30 seconds, did you have any a word or maybe a sentence about the whole nonsense with Rachel Dolezal before we let you go?
I would just say that, in other words, our tribute to the people whose lives were taken, our tribute to them is not singing and moaning and thinking all we can do is pray. Our tribute to them can be put in these words. You know, it's as though we're speaking to them. We are going to avenge the loss of your lives by coming to terms with the system of racism, white supremacy that has been responsible for your death. One operative in the system, and we are going to avenge your deaths by mastering and understanding and bringing the system of racism, white supremacy to an end and replacing it with a system of justice. Justice meaning no one is mistreated. No one is allowed to be mistreated. And those who need the most help get the most help. That's our mission, and that is our tribute and our memorial to your lives. And that is what it is that we are committed to, and that is what we are going to do. So help us, God.
Beautiful. Dr. Francis Cress Welsing, author of the ISIS Papers, third generation physician, general, and child psychiatrist. Pleasure to have you on the program. And again, just for all the folks who listen into the program all over the world, we are just so grateful for you being so generous with your time and on such short notice coming in to discuss one of the most important, horrendous events probably in our lifetime. But real pleasure to have you on the program. Please continue to take excellent care of yourself. Congratulations. I know you're getting your big recognition this weekend. Well deserved. I hope you have a fantastic time, and we will definitely look forward to speaking with you down the road.
Well, thank you, and thank you very much for inviting me. I'm glad to have the opportunity to share on this very significant occasion.
For sure, for sure. Please enjoy the rest of your evening, and we will look forward to hearing more from you in the future, Dr. Welzing.
All right, thank you very much.
Good evening, Dr. Welzing.
Good evening.
Mm-hmm. Context of white supremacy. Outstanding. Outstanding. I knew it was such short notice for the program. I think folks who are accustomed to listening to the Cows know that we normally do like a 3-hour broad, or at least 2 hours, typically. At least 2 hours, and then we do our overtime three. Obviously, you know, this just happened, the horror down in South Carolina, and I was just processing, reading the newspaper and posting different articles and trying to get more information about all this. And I thought, wow, man, if she is available, it might be worth it to nag Dr. Welzing to see if, you know, she could come and speak with us for a second, because this is huge. I mean, I think this is going to be one of those, like the bombing of the Birmingham church in 63, the four little girls. I think it's going to be that sort of thing where people talk about this. This is going to be like pivotal moment in your life. Like when you have grandchildren, what were you doing? June, 17th, 2015, what were you doing? How did you find out about it? What did you think? What did you do? I think it's going to be that sort of event. So to be able to get Dr. Welzing's thoughts right, as all this happened, I thought that would be really valuable just to get some of the things that have stood out early on, particularly the use of terms. I thought that was really important as well. When I called her, I was looking for the word terrorism and she was looking for the word racism, and neither term was used from President Obama's first remarks about all of this earlier today. And just for the record, white people are not going to institute any gun control. If they didn't do it for those little white urchins up in Sandy Hook when they were shot and killed, you can be sure that they are not going to symbolically castrate white men as a result of, and I'm saying it this way intentionally because this is the racist mind, as a result of some niggers being killed in South Carolina. That's just not going to happen. So at any rate, yeah, I think it's important. Everything that Dr. Welzing said, just, being serious about this, calling it, being accurate with terms, any platform that you have, if you have a blog, program, if you get interviewed, somebody comes up and they stick a microphone in your face, because I did hear from some people that I think CNN, they had street teams out and they were doing interviews, and that some of the black people, as Dr. Welzing said, they were being very articulate, very on point, very accurate, saying that this is terrorism. And kudos, bravo. But any access that you have to inform and speak about this issue, even, to your family and friends, because that's important too. That's huge. I mean, those people you have even more influence over, because, right, ostensibly, because you see them more often and there might be some emotional concerns and all that. But, really make an effort to be accurate, when you're talking to other family members and what have you. This is terrorism. This is not a hate crime. This is terrorism, and this is methodical white terrorism. They reported he had been talking about this, and emphasized that from both sides. And when I say emphasize it, I mean this white man had been talking about, joking about violence against black people for a while and been doing it publicly. Nothing was done. Do you think a black person could joke publicly about killing white people and go on and do this for weeks, months, years, apparently, and not be investigated, caged, interrogated, anally probed? Do you think it would be possible for a black person to do that? And do you even hear, given everything that black people have suffered with, the way that we have been terrorized and abused, molested, all of us, children, elderly, 87-year-old, grandmothers, given what's happened, do you hear black people talking about this, joking about violence against white people? Do you even hear that? Do you have a record of that happening in your, when we're talking to anyone, be as accurate, be as honest, whatever you think is important to point out. Seeing great points. People talking about the suspect, the white terrorist in this case, Dylan Storm Rout, I think that's how you say his name. They were saying reports, not only that he had been joking and talking about killing black people for this lengthy period of time, I guess, and nothing was done. And Dr. Welsing said, and the white people that had been listening to it for years and laughing along with him, that too is an act of racism, white supremacy, that, you know, people just get swept under the rug and how we process all this. But this guy making these jokes about killing black people and going to carry out this plan, saying he was upset about, what was it? He was upset. He thought black people were raping white women, sounding like Jesse Lee Peterson in the game when we were on their program. Maybe he was a listener, right? Maybe he listened to the program and that influenced his views. But just really make an effort to be as accurate as you possibly can in any platform, any venue that you have to talk about this incident, including your friends, family, children. Be as accurate as you possibly can in pointing out things. As I said, I heard people pointing out this guy. He had been in the media, like people are calling him a child, right? And this guy was 21, and they're calling him a child, and they're just contrast. Tamir Rice was 12, but he was a man, right? You heard the 911 audio. And I think the same thing with Trayvon Martin, Michael Brown Jr., Renisha McBride, that this repeatedly, over and over again, where black people, they are not processed, they're not thought of as children immediately from birth almost. You are a menacing adult that needs to be put down immediately. Just point those things out. Anything that you think is relevant, racist jokes, I certainly will be adding that to my folder. People that listen to the cows that know how frequently I talk about the significance of racist jokes, why they should not be minimized, why we really, your antenna should skyrocket anytime that you hear a racist joke, and not being same thing Dr. Welsing emphasized, not being emotional about it. I mean, I already understood the offense has already been committed. I'm just trying to process what you are saying. Those racist jokes are huge because so frequently they are joking about violence against black people specifically. And that guy, we talked about this, Dr. Joe Fagan, I have said consistently, Two-Faced Racism. That's one of the most important books that I have read about racism. And it's written by two white people. Joe Fagan, he was on the program March 2010. We talked about those racist jokes. And he says, I think it was like 75% of the jokes are targeting black people specifically, exclusively, and violence against black people, joking about violence against black people. What's one of the jokes? I got an apple on my desk. It says, how are President Obama and an apple similar? They both look good hanging from a tree. That's the punchline. When you're telling, these are the sort of jokes, I suspect, that the suspected killer, white terrorist, that he apparently was sharing with other white people. I'm sure he was saying things like that. Pay attention when white people are making those sort of comments on the job. We've had many, many people who've wrote in and talked about, you know, white people that they work with every day, spend 40 hours a week with, are making racist jokes. write that sort of thing down and investigate what they're saying and take that sort of thing seriously. They said that. They said that the people that were hearing these racist jokes, they didn't take him seriously. That's what they reported already. Take that sort of thing very seriously. That right there is directly connected to how you end up with these sort of acts, justifying, celebrating, and really, we pointed this out with Dr. Fagan, the enjoyment, taking pleasure in violence against Black people. That's what those racist jokes are all about. That's what they're promoting. That's what they're celebrating. That's what they are encouraging. Take them very seriously. And again, I say, write them down. Write them down, interrogate it, particularly if it's on the job. Write it down, date it, boom, 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 boom. And now you can connect it with this case. You know, I think we should take this sort of thing seriously, because they said the guy that shot that church up in South Carolina, he was saying this sort of stuff. He was making these kind of racist remarks, and people didn't take him seriously. That's exactly the way you can say it, too. As I said, this was not intended. I have other things to do. I have writing to get done. We have a program coming up tomorrow. I know, I'm sure people have a lot of remarks that they want to get in about all of this. And we will definitely be here for the compensatory call-in on Saturday where folks can do so. I'm sure there'll be more information will have come to light between now and then. So we're not going to be hanging out for the next hour or so to give people chat time. I just wanted to do this to give people a chance to hear from Dr. Welsing on, again, what I think is going to be one of the most important events in our lives, and something that we're going to be talking about for the rest of our lives. I will, just to acknowledge the folks that did have a hand up while Dr. Welsing was here, who did not get a chance to get a question. If you can succinctly, like 45 seconds, I think that's reasonable. If you had a remark that you wanted to get in just based on what you heard or an observation, I'll get those too, and then we will wrap things up. Thanks to all the folks who tuned in. I hope it was constructive. The caller at 9769, did you have a remark that you wanted to get in within like 45 seconds?
Just what I've noticed is how a lot of younger white males are expressing these feelings. I was just reminded of Elliot Rodger, who also had feelings or racist feelings about Black people. And so I just wanted to ask Dr. Welsing about that. But thank you for taking my call.
For sure, for sure. Good observation. Thomas in New York, did you have a quick remark that you wanted to get in?
No, I'll leave it at that, Gus. She did a great job articulating the religion. But I'll leave it at that.
Right on. Good to hear from you, Thomas in New York. They were so quick. I can get in one more. The caller at 5098, did you have a quick remark you wanted to get in before we wrap things up?
Yeah, can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody picked up on this, but before the alleged perpetrator was caught, they were saying he was 21 years old. I thought that was odd because normally they'll say he was between 20 and 25. They kept using the word 21, exactly. And I just thought that was an odd observation prior to him being caught. They kept saying he's a 21-year-old white. Normally they'll say he's between 20 and 25 and so forth. But they used the exact age of this particular person. That was just an observation I picked up. Thank you.
I don't want to dig that as well. Everyone being so quick, M1 should wrap us up here. Did you have something you wanted to get in, sir? Good to hear from you.
Oh, hey, yes, good evening, all. You know, I often say my definition of what it means to be a white person is that white person's wrongdoing, from racist jokes to genocide, is rewarded, tolerated, and condoled. And I'm glad you mentioned these racist jokes and how that's so important. And particularly, I'm sure you know, there have been all these white comics, Maher, Seinfeld, Mel Brooks, going against the quote-unquote PC nature that they say is ruining comedy, that they say is stifling their creative freedom. In other words, in other words, this is just code that we want our right to be racist not to be disturbed. But meanwhile, they'll rag Trevor Noah for tweets he wrote. You know, and like I said, the downplaying these racist jokes by saying we need to stop being so PC. And remember, that's just code for white people saying we don't want our right to be racist interrupted. That's it.
Right on. Absolutely. I'm going to go back and dig my article out from Atlanta Black Star about the significance of racist jokes. That's definitely one that should have more significance now for people who are paying attention to this case and all the. I would hope that it would be great if some of the people that were around him. If they could remember some of the exact type of jokes that he was telling, I would appreciate getting that sort of information. I don't know if they will be forthcoming. At any rate, we will be here tomorrow, Assata Shakur. We will be wrapping that book up tomorrow evening, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. All done, Assata Shakur. We will also be here for the compensatory call-in Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Pacific. Certainly, I think there'll be a lot more to discuss. They'll have more information and what have you over the next couple days. So we'll definitely be spending a good bit of time about that this coming weekend, I'm sure. We just spent so much time on South Carolina. We were just talking about South Carolina State and how white people had looted this historically black college. Definitely with Walter Scott, the incident with the school down in South Carolina where they spray painted nigger on the big rock at the school. We just spent so much time talking about all these different incidents down in South Carolina. The Friendship Nine, they just had the big anniversary. So I'm going to make an effort to see if I can reach out to some of the folks that we had on down in South Carolina to kind of get their view after folks have had a moment to kind of get their bearing, just, you know, what they're seeing on the ground and what they think about all this. But again, I think this is unfortunately another horrendous illustration of white terrorism, and racism is war against black people. Really just very clear illustration, very clear demonstration, so that there's no ambiguity about that. But as I said, I think this is going to be a definitive moment and something that, you know, we'll be talking about 50 years, 60 years, 70 years from now. We'll be talking about it and what we were doing the day and time that all that happened and what we thought, what we did in response to all that. So really take the moment seriously, and I will emphasize again, be accurate, be honest. Any opportunity that you have to speak about this with a friend, with your wife, with your husband, with your children, with your grandparents, siblings, friends, except at work. Be very clear, except at work. We're supposed to be codified, and this is going to be very important to be codified, because it's, I'm sure we'll be talking about that on Saturday. I know folks are going to be talking about this at work. I would observe what white people are saying, and maybe to think of some questions if you want to ask white people, or you can always go the safe route of not saying anything. It is tragic. It's tragic, you know, and just not getting into any long conversations with white people or even non-white people, to just say as little as possible, observe, see what they're saying. If the news is on, you can pay attention to what have you, but be codified in the workplace. But beyond that, outside of work, man, be accurate, be honest, and really make an effort to point out things that you think are important. Any observations that you have, some of the things that our listeners already noted. How did they know he was 21 before, you know, they had a person captured and could get definitive information? Whatever you think is important, to point out, but be as accurate and honest as you possibly can, particularly if someone should stick a microphone in your face or ask you to come on a program or you call into a radio program. Any venue that you have to talk about racism, to talk about this incident, man, challenge yourself to be as honest, as accurate as you possibly can. And with that, we will wrap things up. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Again, we are fundraising for the summer of 2015. Invest if you think the program is constructive. racism-notes.blogspot.com. racism-notes.blogspot.com. Listener supported, counter racist radio. PayPal button is in the top right corner. If you're not feeling PayPal, drop me an email and we will get you a physical mailing address. But the blog again, racism-notes.blogspot.com. Thanks everyone who has invested, supported down through the years. I hope the program has been, continues to be, worthy of your time and energy. Just echo Dr. Welsing's sentiments, thoughts, prayers with the victims, their families down in South Carolina, and really all Black people, I'm sure. It's a whole lot of Black people who have, you know, never even been to South Carolina, who have just been extremely traumatized by this incident, and just, you know, hope that folks will do as best they can to manage our mental health under very trying conditions. Recognize if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're feeling kind of down, if you're depressed, you can pay attention with your children. Be really mindful of that. If you have children and they're seeing this, and you know it's on the news or some radio, people are talking about it, be mindful, because it does have an impact on them. We've talked about that before. In fact, I think we should have Dr. Marva Robinson. She should be back on the program later this month. She was with us in December talking about mental health and the things she was doing to try to help Black people in Ferguson deal with the mental health crisis after the Michael Brown Jr. shooting. She'll be back with us, and she talked about being mindful with your children. If they're seeing a lot of this, talk to them, engage them, see how they're feeling about this, because it has a huge impact, just that constant projection of Black death and Black suffering and Black people being mauled with impunity generally. It has a huge impact on all of us, but really pay attention with yourself and with your children. Do as much as we can to replenish and take care of Black mental health under kind of the worst of situations. Thanks again for everyone tuning in, and just drop me an email if you have questions, gripes, confusion, craziness you want to share. UntilJustice@gmail.com. UntilJustice@gmail.com. You can catch us on Twitter at UntilJustice. On Twitter at UntilJustice. Thanks all for tuning in. Remain codified, and we will ask the Creator, help us remain patient with other Black people. Help us to remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of Black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another Black person. It has been time. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately. Context of White Supremacy signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim,
your
brother.
Problem. You're a victim.
I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my condition. Mm-hmm. Even my conditioning has been conditioned.